is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Amid the roiling debate over immigration, President Trump this afternoon just wrapped up a public appearance with families of those killed by people in the U.S. illegally.
These are the American citizens permanently separated from their loved ones. The word permanently being the word that you have to think about, permanently. They're not separated for a day or 2 days. They are permanently separated because they were killed by criminal illegal aliens.
This appearance by the president comes amid a week of controversy over the White House immigration policy, especially the one that allowed children to be separated from their families at the U.S. border. Earlier this week, the president did sign an executive order ending that policy. Some members of Massachusetts' congressional delegation are heading to the border this weekend. And earlier today, Senator Ed Markey spoke in East Boston about the health effects of family separations.
Many of these immigrant families are trying to escape violence, trauma, and adversity in search of a healthier, more secure life. It is unconscionable that the Trump administration is engaging in this horrific policy.
Joining us to talk about some of the local ramifications of this immigration debate is Susan Church, former chair of the American Immigration Lawyers Association of New England and a partner at the Cambridge law firm DeMissi and Church. Did I say that right, Susan?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for being with us. So how is Massachusetts affected by all of this debate? We've heard about 20,000 beds are needed to deal with people who are in detention. What is happening here? How are people here reacting?
Well, certainly people here are reacting, as I would expect Massachusetts to react, which is with outrage and horror over the separation of children. What you're probably going to see in Massachusetts are, hopefully, if some of these 2,000 or more children are reunited with their parent, with their family members, you may see them reunited with cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, family members that they already have here that their parents were originally intending to reunite with. So I would expect to see some tearful reunions at the airport. I don't expect to see an influx of beds here, only because my understanding is, and who knows, with this administration, it could change in a heartbeat. But my understanding is the beds they're looking at are in Texas and Arizona. We do have some Air Force, some military-based capability to house people. I hope that we don't do that. But if we do, I can guarantee you a lawsuit will be filed within minutes of them arriving here to get them released from custody and reunited with their family.
When you say military-based capability, remember there was a lot of talk about this under the administration of former Governor Deval Patrick when we were talking about unaccompanied minors and this influx of unaccompanied minors. And there was a lot of talk about whether it would be OTIS or where it would be. Are we talking about primarily, if it were needed, that we would look to OTIS Air Force Base on Cape Cod? We would look to Fort Devens? I mean, do we know? Are we that granular yet in sort of looking at information about what might happen here in Massachusetts?
All the reports that I have read deal with Texas and Arizona, and that's because it's difficult to transfer kids from the border. Many of these children are very small. They're already traumatized by separation from their parents. And multiple airlines have already announced they're not flying these children here. Right. They're not going to be a part of this atrocity. Hmm.
But we also are hearing a lot of the debate about the Flores Act, right?
Right.
Which only allows children to be held for 20 days in detention, right, if they're here in the country illegally. But there may be some effort on the part of the White House to change that and to allow families to be detained indefinitely. Now, what if that happens? I mean, there's going to be space needed, right?
So, again, the Trump administration's not quite, I think, understanding the rule of law. The Flores settlement in 2015, the government tried to amend the Flores settlement. And by the way, this has been going on since 1985, this debate. In 2015, the government tried to amend it, and the court said no. And it was appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit case was never appealed. They ruled that the Flores settlement stays. So they can try to amend it again. They can try to beg and plead with the courts again, but the courts have already ruled on this issue, and it never went to the Supreme Court after the most recent time it went to the Ninth. So it is the law of the land. They have to live with it. They don't want to live with it. They don't like to live with it, but it is the law of the land.
Governor Baker and State Health and Human Services officials said earlier this week, no children who were separated from their families are here in Massachusetts. Is that your understanding?
So I'm not sure that it's accurate to count that, because here's the issue. The government, the administration is saying that this was a zero tolerance policy announced maybe April or May, I think. The ACLU filed a lawsuit over these separations in February of this year. And in March, a nonprofit organization filed an affidavit saying they alone, just their organization alone, had identified 492 children. So I don't think the government knows where these children are. I don't think they know where they're living. I don't think if they've released them, they have any ability to track them, or if they did, whether they would tell us the truth. Because the last thing the administration wants to see is 18-month-old babies handed over to people that they could have been reunited with months ago.
So we have no idea, essentially, is what you're saying.
I think we cannot trust the administration on this.
I want to bring someone into this conversation quickly who is with the Chelsea Collaborative. Yesenia Alfaro is deputy director of the collaborative, and apparently she says a woman who's a member of the collaborative is taking care of her grandson who was separated from his mother at the border. Yesenia, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you tell us the story of what you're hearing regarding a mom, a grandmom in Chelsea who's taking care of her grandson? What's the story there?
Okay, so she came 3 weeks ago with the paperwork that it is, you know, to reunify her with her grandson because the daughter, they both crossed the border from Honduras from Honduras to the United States. And they got caught in the border in McAllen, Texas, were separated at the moment of being in the ICE custom and at the moment of entry. So the daughter immediately reached out to her mom, who is the grandmother, and notified her of the horrific event that she was separated from her son. And so we started to try to locate with the ICE locator. He's a minor, so it was really hard to locate it.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to, you know, get a phone call and was able to fill out all the paperwork for the for the grandmother. And at this moment, he's still without his mom. His mom's still at the detention center.
But so what happened was the mom was able to call the grandmother here in Chelsea, and he was able to get to Chelsea, and he's here now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Has the grandmother been able to talk to the mom?
No.
And then how about the grandmother reuniting with the grandson? What was that like? Do you know?
Well, I asked before making the phone call. So he was sent in a bus, was not like an airplane, with all the paperwork. And she went to pick him up at South Station and then, you know, try to enroll him here into the schools. And so she's in that process right now. But he is, like, I went to their house trying to see if they can be on the radio with me. But the reality is that he couldn't even talk to me. He was just in tears, crying that he don't know what's going on and that he wants to go and save his mom. And we just keep telling him that, you know, we got to keep fighting for this, for him to reunify with the mom. But something that it was clear to me by looking the fear in him that he don't want to go back to Honduras. It's really, right now, it's really violent, violent country.
How are you, as a Chelsea Collaborative, preparing for all of this, for the potential that there might be other cases like this?
Well, we are planning to prepare similarly to what we did when the Central America influx of young children with their moms were coming. So we are getting yesterday. Evening, we had a vigil right in front of the city hall, and a lot of the community, you know, came on board from different backgrounds. We were translating from Spanish to English, from English to Spanish. The solidarity among the city of Chelsea residents, it was really grateful, and it can, you know, tell us a very positive sign that we are going to be prepared to receive this family with, you know, with things like clothes, and we're going to also convene another meeting to find other support from other allies, because we work also with other organizations that does the same thing that we do helping our immigrant community and a lot of the pro bono attorneys to sort of like fill out this paperwork that it requires legal experts, because we are good in the grassroots, but not good in, you know, like we don't touch any of the legality of the paperwork. We're legal partners. But yes, we are getting prepared similarly to what we did with the influx of the Central America. At the same time, we are also letting our current families that are here to not be afraid, and you know, that grassroots organizations like ours are going to be there for them.
Okay. Yesenia Alfaro, who's the Deputy Director of the Chelsea Collaborative, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Susan Church, Yesenia mentioned something very important, you know, preparing for other folks who may come here. Maybe there's a family member already here, maybe folks who were detained or children, or reassuring people who are here about what all of this debate means. What's your advice to both of those groups of people in Massachusetts?
So, you know, I wish I knew how to comfort my clients, because my clients are looking at me saying, why are we being treated like this? Why are we made to feel like animals? Why are our children treated in a way that no American citizen would ever want their children treated? And many of these people, it's important to understand, they're not entering illegally. So many people are coming to the border and knocking on the door and asking for asylum. And grant rates of asylum in immigration court are anywhere from 30 to 60%. So they're asking for a legal benefit that the courts have a right to give them, and they're trying to do it the proper way. Often Customs and Border Protection won't even let them to get to the door to knock on it to prevent that. And they're still seeing their children separated. And so it's difficult to reassure our clients because the climate is so bad, but there are so many people willing to fight for them, like the Chelsea Collaborative, like all the nonprofit organizations that provide pro bono representations. You know, everybody in this state in particular, I think, has been extremely supportive of immigrants in any way they can. I mean, I think Governor Baker should think about passing the budget amendment that helps reassure immigrants that there will not be cooperation with ICE and police. I mean, there's a lot of issues there, but I really think it's important that people in this state understand that we're here for them.
All right. Susan Church, former chair of the American Immigration Lawyers Association of New England and partner at the Cambridge law firm Dempsey & Church, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.